biggest mistake I made was that I let fear dictate my decision about when to turn this into a business. And so I put up so many mental roadblocks about why this wouldn't work and how it was going to be too difficult.
Welcome to ProCo 360's Pro Business Colorado. This is a show about entrepreneurs who could be successful anywhere and choose Colorado. I'm your host, Dave Tabor. My guests know that whether it's having a meeting over a beer after a bike ride or the special collaboration that goes on here, business in Colorado is special. Past shows, my Audible book list, and subscriber info are available at proco360.com. Again, that's proco360.com. In this episode, I'll be speaking with Andrew Hudson of Andrew Hudson's Job List, a successful online job board that somehow competes in a world dominated by Monster, Indeed, and others. That somehow is what we'll be discussing a lot. Andrew, I hope you're ready for that. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Glad you're here. And first, thanks to show sponsors, Community Banks of Colorado. They go big for small business. They've been committed to this show since it started, demonstrating their love for entrepreneurs in Colorado. And MicroStar Keg Logistics, these guys are entrepreneurs for beer entrepreneurs. MicroStar helps craft brewers expand by handling the logistics of keg distribution. Okay, Andrew Hudson of Andrew Hudson's Job List. Let's get started. On Andrew Hudson's Job List, you promote the site as great jobs harvested locally in Colorado and best career connections in Colorado. Both of those, I think, speak well about your business, but tell us a little bit more.
Well, what occurred was I used to be the press secretary for Mayor Webb. And back way in the late 90s, I was looking for a way to leapfrog over the national press and the mainstream press in terms of delivering our message. And I created this very, very basic email listserv where I was sending information out about the mayor's office, about what was going on, press releases, all of these types of things. And it became a very, very popular list. And it's funny, it's the only thing I will ever compare myself to Donald Trump about in terms of, you know, it was pre-Twitter.
Yeah.
But it was this idea of trying to control our narrative and control our story. And the list kept growing and growing. People wanted to be on the list. And then people started sending me jobs. And they said, look, we understand you got this great job. It's going out to community leaders, business leaders, media leaders, so forth, and nonprofit community. Can you post our job? And that's really kind of where it started. So it became this kind of half list of information about the city. And the other half was this promoting these jobs. Hmm. I left the mayor's office when he was term limited. And this was in about 2003. Went on to Frontier Airlines. And to tell you the truth, the list kept growing. I mean, it started at 300 people. And by that time I left, about 4 years later, there was 3,000 people on this list. And everyone kept encouraging me to just do the jobs. The job stuff was so valuable and helpful.
Did people just want to be on the list? Did people want to just feel as though they were part of it?
Yeah. I mean, it was, they felt like they were part of a club. They felt like they were part of an association or something of that sort. And so I was working at Frontier Airlines and really just putting every waking moment of free time into purging names and adding jobs. And this list was going out once a week on Mondays. And I was about to throw in the towel. And a company up in Lafayette called Net News Desk, they came to me and they said, we love your jobs list, but your delivery sucks. Huh. And it did. It was just this very basic email listserv, copy and paste into emails. And I was being accused by Comcast of being a spammer. And it really got out of control.
Well, did it suck because you had a full-time job and this was just all you could do? Or did it suck because you just didn't know how to do any better?
Both. Well, what Net News Desk did is they came to me and they said, we love what you're doing. It's completely free for everybody. And they specialized in somewhat of they're a local company up in Boulder, Lafayette, and they specialized in a smaller platform of similar to Constant Contact, where they could do an automated email newsletter distribution and a basic website that was attached to it. That was the game changer, because at that point, everything was automated. You want to post a job, go to the site, post a job. If you want to subscribe or unsubscribe, it's easy enough to do. Mm-hmm. And so from that moment on, I was able to really start to build the site and the website really took off. And so I was at Frontier Airlines, and then I took a job with a company called Arcadis. It's a big engineering firm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And about 1998, something very significant happened, which is that my mother passed away. And she left me an inheritance. It wasn't a lot, but it was enough for me to start thinking, I got some money socked away. What would it look like if I turned this into a full-time job? And I dreamed of it because I was like, I could put all my talent, my passion, my hard work, everything into this. It's working. I mean, by this point, you know, I had 15 some thousand people on the list and I was posting
was
all of these jobs.
Was it generating any revenue then?
No, not for me. It was for other people, not, but not for me. But this is total sweat equity. I mean, I it was a hobby. It was something that I was doing. But so I started doing some research and built up a little prospectus and a little bit of understanding of how the big guys are doing it. And it was not out of the realm of possibility that I could be making money on this. So on August 8th, 2008, and I gave everyone plenty of fair warning, I said, it's going to be $250 to post a job, which is below the Denver Post, the big job boards, and now $150 if you were a nonprofit.
Got it. Now, did you let them know in advance why you were doing this, like that you were turning this into a business? Did you say anything like that?
Yeah, totally. Really? I told everyone that the goal was for me to be able to build the site, make it more robust, make it more helpful and more impactful on the community. And the only way I could do that was if I was doing it full time. And what I decided, I was going to give myself 3 months' time. And if it worked, then I was going to quit my job and I was going to do it full time. And if it didn't, no problem. I'll just keep doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I quit my job in 3 days. It was so automatic.
Huh.
I mean, the number of jobs that came in just within 24 hours was double the amount of jobs that had come
in
before.
Why is that? Why were people wanting to post more jobs when you charged them money?
Well, I think it was the first lesson I learned as an entrepreneur, which is number one, if you have something of value, you can't be afraid to charge for it. And I see a lot of entrepreneurs who fall into that trap of, oh, gee, you know what? I'm so modest. I shouldn't charge for this or I shouldn't charge for that or maybe my price is too high or whatever. And that's crap. If you have something of value, charge for it. The other example I use, it's kind of like this thing where when you have a price on it, there's credibility to it. Mm-hmm. So if you have an old couch and you put it on your front yard and you say, free to take.
It's going to sit there for a month,
it'll
right?
sit there, but then all of a sudden you change that sign and say $75, it'll get stolen overnight.
And that's a great, Hey, if you just joined us, you're listening to ProCo 360. I'm your host, Dave Tabor, and I'm interviewing Andrew Hudson of Andrew Hudson's Job List. So so put a price on something and it becomes more attractive.
Yeah. Well, and you know, in my case, you know, I'd put in 10 years of sweat equity on this thing. So there was already a following. There was already credibility. And it wasn't that much of a stretch for somebody to say, shoot, I'm spending $400 to post a job on Monster and I'm getting better traction on Andrew's list.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's I could totally understand why. And I have no problem paying for that.
But were companies coming to you because they really weren't coming to post because you were cheaper, were they?
No, the secret sauce of my site is it's all about this micro local job board. So I remember the specific day in about 1997, 98, somebody had sent me a link to this wonderful website called monster.com. Hmm. And they had just started a year or so earlier. And I had always thought, even when I was first looking for a job out of college, and you did the thing where you opened up the Rocky Mountain News and the Denver Post on Sundays, and there was like 60 pages of jobs. And that's how you looked for a job. You had one really good resume, and that's how you would look for a job. And I used to just think to myself, wouldn't it be great if all of the jobs in business administration were in one location? Or if you're an architect, and if you're in PR, or if you're in government, whatever, you could look those ways. And sure enough, when Monster came around, it was like, man, all you do is you enter in a zip code, salary, title, and zip, all these jobs come up. The problem was Monster had literally become a monster for both the employees or the job seekers looking and for the employers who were now having to sift through literally hundreds, sometimes thousands of resumes from all over the country. And so this idea of being able to connect the best local professionals with companies was very attractive to the employers.
Well, there's something else, and I've spent some time on your site preparing for this interview, and there's something different about your site. It's sort of like, you know, if you want to find a job in Colorado, the site feels different. It feels it feels less overwhelming. And listeners, I'm not promoting Andrew necessarily. This is a legitimate question for Andrew. You know, something I want to learn about the way you do business. Is there sort of a feel you're trying to achieve, sort of a fit that you're going after to attract the right kind of user?
Yeah, well, it's a great question. And yes, on a couple of different levels. Number one was that the brand itself, this idea of Fresh Jobs Daily. I worked really hard with a gentleman who's a good buddy of mine named Dave Dute, and he and I went through all these iterations of what is the secret sauce of Andrew Hudson's jobs list. I just did a whole brand new brand realignment in January where I have a brand new platform for the website, and I also changed everything about what it is I was really looking for. And so we talked a lot about this idea of local. And so Fresh Jobs Daily, we are looking for this kind of farmer's market vibe where you could go get a box of peaches at Costco, and you know that probably 10, 15% of those, the ones at the bottom, are going to be soft and mushy, and you know they're not very tasty. If you go to the farmer's market, you're going to get the ones that just got picked off that day, and you're going to always know that for the most part, those are going to be the best jobs you can get.
So how does, in fact, Luke, I'm going to let you know, I'm going to play that Seth Godin clip in a second. When you're thinking about this notion of Fresh Jobs Daily, I mean, that doesn't necessarily connect, or how are you connecting that with the notion of being a Colorado-based job? Are you?
Yeah. Well, yes, and I think it's primarily because the brand recognition of it being a Colorado site for so long has already existed.
Got it.
It's a great question, because when I was at Frontier Airlines and I was heavily involved in the rebranding of Frontier.
You did all those animals and stuff too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And there was this great study we did where it was just a pretty basic marketing study called a top of mind awareness study. And you go out and you ask people all these questions about, you know, what is their knowledge base about, you know, your product and so forth. And with Frontier, the biggest question that we wanted the answer to is name an airline in Denver. And if we were in the top three, we'd be doing pretty good. We were in the top three less than 50% of the time. That was for Frontier Airlines. And, they'd name American, they'd name United, they'd name. And when they did know about us, and we asked them questions, you know, tell us more about Frontier. They'd say, oh, yeah, you're that Western airline. You're that one that flies to Las Vegas and to Phoenix and to Portland. And the idea was that was the brand on the side of the plane, the spirit of the West.
In your case, you had an advantage. In fact, I want to play, Luke, I want to play that clip. Can you run it from Seth Godin interview, please?
That's not why people buy it. People buy it because of the story, because of the way it makes them feel. So the guys at Aptera who have a cool little car, they're only going to sell 5,000 in the first year anyway. So rather than saying to everyone in the world, everyone should buy this because it's best, they should just say, no, there's only 5,000 of them. It's not for everyone. If you're one of the people it's for, we'd love to hear from you. And that's how you build a cult or a movement, not by saying everyone must buy this, even though we only have a few.
So I want to circle us back right to this notion of Coloradans who want Colorado jobs versus anyone who wants a job who might go to Monster. What's your take?
Well, I think number one is that the history of those big job boards and the usability from a job seeker standpoint is pretty much sucked. I mean, you're getting bogged down with either fake jobs or jobs that don't make a lot of sense, or you're searching for specific jobs that they're spitting back, you know, everything in the kitchen sink. And I think, you know, you have a brand promise and you better deliver on that brand promise. And with me, you know, Fresh Jobs Daily, the best jobs in Colorado, that's the brand promise. If I can't deliver on that brand, then, you know, I'm not worth the salt that, you know, that's part of the whole company.
Well, then when you talk about the best jobs, that implies that you accept some and you reject some. Right before we start our interview, you said you reject some. How do you look at that? How do you decide that?
It's not that difficult. I mean,
who made you God of jobs?
Right. Well, and when I say that, I mean, it doesn't happen very often, but if I get a secret shopper job, which is just totally a scam, and you can I don't care if they pay me, and I'll turn the money in. If it is something that is just so atrociously not helpful, and it's for whatever reason, employers they'll post a job and I'll call them up and I'll say, look, I said, this is not really a great job description. Let's work on this. And, you know, in a lot of it, it's just the employer's, you know, not understanding what it means to post a good job posting.
Well, what about jobs like, I didn't see any of these when I was preparing for this, but jobs that say president. And really what it is you're opening a sales territory on commission only basis. I mean, you see that stuff too, don't you?
I do. I don't get a lot of those posted on my site. I mean, from time to time, it's like, if I get a job that says, you know, we're looking for sales reps and you have to pay $300 to go through our training program. Yeah. Forget it, you know, yeah. Take it to Craigslist, go somewhere else. But that's not really the audience that I'm looking at. But the other thing that, you know, a lot of people don't realize, 70% of my traffic are currently employed job seekers. Hmm. I mean, they're passive.
How does that compare to Monster or somebody else?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure. Yeah. I don't think it's that
Well, why is that an interesting number? Is 70% high, low? What is that?
Well, what's interesting about it, if I go into a company and I say, guess what? 7 out of your 10 employees are on my website looking for a new job, yeah. They freak out. But when I sit there and say, you know, as it relates to career management, it's not that uncommon for people to constantly be on the lookout for jobs. I send out my newsletter twice a week, which goes out to all my job seekers. And I hear through surveys and conversations, I go to your newsletter every week to scan through and see what's going on in the community in Colorado and look and see if there's an opportunity out there. I'm not actively looking, but if there's something pops, then I'm going to do it.
Hmm. It is a tight job market.
Yeah.
Obviously. And you must hear a ton about today's job market, how hard it is to attract good talent and all that. You're probably hearing it from both sides, right? From employers. Are employers asking you, what can we do to better attract the kinds of people we want?
Oh, yeah. And it's a huge discussion within the HR world right now. And
yeah.
It falls down to this idea of what is called talent brand management. And talent brand management is basically establishing yourself as an employer of choice. Now, a lot of people are hearing these massive disruptions that are going on that are the result of a lot of things. Primarily, it's the result of what happened during the recession. But it goes back even further than that. I mean, if you look at how we think about work and jobs, a lot of that is the post-war industrial world of
employer gets to dominate the marketplace.
And on top of that, they're doing things like adding benefits and adding retirement stuff and doing vacations because a lot of it is they're trying to fight the unions too. But that model has really not shifted that much until about the last 10, 15 years. And now today, I mean, you're hearing things like unlimited vacation.
I mean,
and you're seeing some of the more silly things like, you know, we have a bocce ball court in the employee room, or it's beer Friday every other Friday. So you're seeing things like that. And a lot of it's just common marketing in terms of, you know, what are we looking at in terms of millennials that are coming in and taking over where the baby boomers are retiring?
So here's what I'm wondering, and it just kind of dawned on me that this brand you've built at Andrew Hudson's Job List, this strong brand you've built can actually help an employer to achieve this notion of talent brand management, right? If the people who are looking for jobs do it because they like you and your board and they see an employer posting on there, is there some gravitational pull?
Yeah,
you hope so, right?
I hope so. But, you know, again, I mean, a lot of this stuff, it can't just be cosmetic. You know, there has got to be, from a company and from a CEO side of it, that is committed to creating culture. And, you know, that seems like such a buzzword or so cliche, but the idea of being able to create a culture where people can thrive, where you're using their best talents to attract customers, where what you want them to do and how you want them to succeed from a business goal set is completely tied to how you're treating your employees. I talk to people all the time. I have these things called job seeker boot camps. And one of the questions I always talk to these people who are looking for jobs, I say, give me what was your most favorite job and what were the qualities that made that your most favorite job? Not once have I ever heard, oh, I made a buttload of money.
Yeah.
You know, it's always trust, respect, autonomy, understanding of goals and vision, ethics of the company. The CEO is clear in the communications. I felt like I was part of a team and there was a manager that really made me feel good. And it really comes down to, you know, when you are spending more of your time in your life working with other people than you are with your spouse, with your family, with your pet, with things you want to do. Those things are important. And, you know, I'll just leave it on this. People don't lead, people don't leave companies. They leave bosses.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so that.
So it's interesting to me because you've managed to build this. I mean, you built a business. And by the way, you're making a living at it now?
I've been making a living since I left Arcadis.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, my whole goal was to, if I could recoup my salary that I was making at Arcadis, then I'd be okay. I mean, I never had to touch the inheritance that I had. And the beauty of it, Dave, and I mean, this is the beauty of the internet, is I have such little overhead. I work all by myself. I have a computer and that's it.
Come on. You don't have any other staff, anything else?
No, I hired a sales guy. You know, that's just been within the last 3 months. Mm. And, you know, and it's just, there's a sense of as many jobs as I post a month, I post about 1,000 jobs a month. There's 45,000 jobs in Colorado on any given day. I mean, there's a ton of work out there. A lot of them don't fit to my website. I mean, I tend, my brand over the past 10 years has really been catered to the white collar worker. Mm-hmm. And so now with my new platform, there's an unlimited amount of jobs that can be put on
there. That's interesting. You say you cater to the white collar worker because I guess in reflecting on my research, that's what I saw. And if you expand that, do you worry about losing some of your brand fit for everybody else? I mean, if someone goes there and they want to just browse fresh jobs daily and they start to see things that don't feel like them.
No, well, and this is the beauty of the platform, and is that you can search, you can look in different categories, you can go all over the website. That fresh jobs daily list that you're referring to is the place where I tend to send people to if they want to see all the most recent jobs that are going on. Yeah. But then you can move on to different areas of the website as well. I think one of the things that I sometimes worry about is that there's these blue collar jobs are part of the gig economy. And more people are looking for hourly jobs, temporary jobs, jobs from home, things like that.
Yeah. And how do you plug into it? Do you want to plug into that?
Yeah. I think absolutely. I think there's total room for that.
That would be – so I do. I as I think about this, I think, wow, I wanted to talk to Andrew about this tight niche, well-marketed, you know, sort of impression that you get right now. So I'm really curious about if you start adding blue collar jobs, gig economy jobs and all that, do you start looking more like Monster?
Worries me. And you're right. I mean, it's like, I don't want that to happen. I'll tell you one of the things when I was first starting on the website part of it, it was basically hyperlinks from categories down to the jobs. And so you'd go on and you'd see marketing jobs. You'd click on that and then you'd go down and you could scroll down and see all of the different jobs and then you could click on the title of the job. It would take you to the job. Not to get too technical here, but none of those jobs had individual URLs. They were all part of one big list, a big scrolling list. And so like Indeed, they go across the board and they scrape all the jobs across it. And I was like, man, I should have a piece of that. They should scrape my jobs. I'd get more traffic. But then I was like, wait a minute. I don't want them to scrape them because then I'm going to be a monster.com.
Yeah.
Google just got into the jobs board market too. Hmm. So when you type in jobs in marketing Denver on Google, jobs come up now.
Wow.
It's like a subsection and they take my jobs on there
they
too.
Do. They scrape them?
Yeah. Well, it's not even scraping. It is scraping. I mean, they're finding the URLs. And so, you know, it's kind of one of these things I'm trying to balance out. You know, I just talked to a company the other day. They said their top three candidates for a job they posted on my site were from New York City.
Well, that's a good thing. You got people coming, finding a Colorado-based job, and they may not have found that through Google or Indeed. They may have actually found it through you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you hope so. And I wouldn't be surprised if you do a search for Colorado jobs, don't you come up?
Oh yeah.
So then they know if they really want to move to Colorado, this is where to go. So how does your personal, I want to shift gears a little bit about personal branding because you started out as like this guy who had a list, kind of like Craigslist started in a way, right? I'm sure you hear that.
Yep.
And and then you built it into something else. Have you extended your personal brand outside of it? Sounds like, you know, employers are looking to you for advice. Employees are looking. How have you extended your personal brand?
Well, I think after 20 years of doing this, I consider myself an expert in the whole job seeking field. And I think number, I'm turned to for speaking engagements. I'm turned to for, you know, employers are looking to me to help them, you know, if they're looking to build a job posting or they're looking for specific talent and understanding all of that. So yeah, that's part of the brand that has kind of grown with it. But I think if there's anything that a brand is worth, it's the authenticity of it. And the fact of the matter is folks know that if they go to my website, there's a guy named Andrew Hudson out there looking out for them and posting the jobs and taking great care to make sure that this is going to be this is a good list of good companies that are there. I built it in, I was the spokesperson for the mayor. And so I had some name recognition out there.
Yeah.
And, but then
within a very small subset.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. And then this whole, the whole job thing, you know, turned the whole thing around.
Yeah.
It's interesting. And, you know, I was waiting for a movie the other day with my wife, and I listened to these two young women who were in front of us, and they had this conversation. I just saw these two jobs on Andrew Hudson's jobs list.
Oh, wow, that must have been cool.
And I didn't say anything to them, but that's happened a couple of times.
Wow. So, yeah. Well, that's kind of a cool thing.
Yeah.
What as you shift to what's next? I'm really intrigued. Is there a next? Are you looking at Andrew Hudson in other cities, other states?
Well,
or you have, where do you go?
Well, here's the thing is that I never would have dreamed that I was able to do what I was doing. I mean, in the way that I'm doing it now. I mean, my whole goal is if I could make $20,000 a month on jobs, that I would be okay. That would, you know, that would be dream. Well, it's way beyond that at this point. But the idea of expanding it, I tell you the truth, I haven't found other cities that have websites doing what I'm doing. I mean, there's a group in Portland that does a pretty good job of it. But I get calls all the time from people in Seattle, Minneapolis, Phoenix, Dallas. I mean, they're always saying, "Hey, we just don't have a site. All we got is Indeed. We got Monster, wow, Career Builder, that's and then some associations like professional associations.
Right.
They try, but they're usually managed by volunteers. Hmm. And you go there, and it's like the job's 3 months old.
Yeah.
And,
well, that's maybe an opportunity. Who knows? We'll talk again. But in the meantime, I want to ask you what lots of people who have started businesses out of their house, started a list, started a something, never actually turned it into a viable business. Most people never do. What do you think is the difference between your ability to turn your hobby / avocation into something that actually you're having a great life?
Well, a couple things. I think 10 years of sweat equity in building up the brand and the credibility of the site was definitely key. At the time when the Denver Post and the Rocky Mountain News were having their war, and then the Rocky Mountain News went out of business, the Denver Post, for the most part, they gave up job ads. I mean, if you go there today, you know, they will have maybe 40 or 50 jobs where they used to have
hundreds. Yeah.
And
but that wasn't you. That was just technology. That was just the internet taking over.
Right. I sometimes get on my knees and thank Dean Singleton, you know, but the fact of the matter is, I mean, the Denver Post now posts their jobs on my site. So it's that was a, when there's a void, you know, it's going to be filled, and I was able to fill it.
You think that's what it is? That's the difference between your ability to have success and maybe others, is that this is a void, a need that needed to be filled, and it existed before you filled it. And now you fill, I mean, that's it.
I think that's a big part of it. I have another theory that when you're in your adult age, there's about four or five things that you're always looking to for advice, whether it's financial advice, whether it's relationship advice, advice about raising kids, health, and career. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that it's one of those things where people can turn to me, and I'm a pretty prolific blogger and writer, and I spend a lot of time writing about workplace issues, and you know,
that attracts users as well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and there's so many things to write about. Like, I've known people who have been actually physically sick because of a boss that they don't like at their job. What do you do? How do you handle a situation like that? Or age issues, you know? So many of the people that come to my boot camps are in these kind of mid-career crises where they are in their 40s and their 50s, and it's either that they're at a job that they never really like, and they're kind of going through this, you know, midlife crisis relating to their career. It goes on and on.
It creates opportunities for you to speak to a subject that supports your brand, really.
Yes, right? Absolutely.
Yeah. So as we wind down, I always like to ask people, you know, a mistake that, look, you can't get to where you're going without making some mistakes, and often really big ones. Can you think of an example of a mistake you made as you were building Andrew Hudson's job list that you learned from and now you do things better because of?
Yeah. And the biggest mistake I made was that I let fear dictate my decision about when to turn this into a business. And so I put up so many mental roadblocks about why this wouldn't work and how it was going to be too difficult. And I've talked to other entrepreneurs, and so many of the fears are really things that are easily overcomable. I've never had an accountant for a business. I'm going to have to start paying taxes. What if it doesn't work out? How do I figure this out? And there's so many entrepreneurs and great ideas that never come to life because they're managed by their fears. The other big mistake, and this was from a job seeking standpoint, and it's actually two, is number one, I took a job that I just knew I shouldn't, but I did it. And then the second one was I took a job because of the money. Mm-hmm. And those are two mistakes from a career management standpoint. I wish I could have do-overs.
My other question, I'm always curious, because, you know, I play clips, I listen to a lot of Audible. Any book come to mind that you have been reading that you think, wow, I'd like to share this notion, some ideas that now you're deploying in your regular life?
Yeah, and it's not a business book. Uh-huh. It's called The Life of Pi. And it's a wonderful book about this kid whose family owns a zoo, and they are moving the zoo from India to Canada, and he's on a boat. And the boat crashes, and he and a tiger are stranded on a boat together. And they made a movie of it as well. The movie was actually very good, but it was just this wonderful idea about survival and relationships and figuring things out and, you know, not giving up. And, you know, a lot of those really great themes that, you know, I think entrepreneurs have to be reminded of on a regular basis.
Well, that's cool. And it's a great way to end our conversation. Hey, this is Dave Tabor. And today on ProCo 360, I've been speaking with Andrew Hudson of Andrew Hudson's Job List, a successful Colorado online job board that somehow, and Andrew explained how, competes in a market dominated by Monster, Indeed, and others. And we've been talking about all of that, how to succeed in a really tight, well-defined niche against the big players. Andrew, thanks again for joining me on ProCo 360.
Thank you very much.
Glad you were here. You did a great job. And again, I'm your host, Dave Tabor. Thanks again to show sponsors, MicroStar Cake Logistics and Community Banks of Colorado. This show and past shows are available at proco360.com. Go there to subscribe. Again, that's proco360.com. Thanks for listening.